In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan. Did Jesus need to be baptized? No. The Holy Spirit rested upon Jesus like a dove. Was Jesus ever apart from the Holy Spirit? No. These things were done for us, that imitation and in imitation of these things, we would be saved. So we are all baptized, we are all chrismated, we are all communed. And when we are able, first on behalf of our parents, we say the confession of the creed, and when we are able to understand sin, we confess for ourselves. And these four things are the substance of our relationship with Christ. Now, there are three others, of course, but they are all optional. Unction of the sick, holy orders, and matrimony. But the first four are the most important of all. Now, I want to take you back to Genesis. And you remember that the Lord had commanded Noah to build an ark because there was going to be a deluge, something that had never been seen upon earth. And even God at the end had repented of this, and he said, I will set a sign in the heavens for you to know that it will not happen again. And that sign, of course, is what we call a rainbow. But it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And all of those that were in the ark were saved. This is a symbol of the church who is in the storm perishes, ultimately. No one is safe. No one. You know what happens? I saw this one time in a movie. There were people that were going to be immolated. They had started a fire, and these people were in a big cage, and as the fire began to get hotter, the people climbed up higher. Now, what do you imagine happened at the time of the flood? The people all went to the highest points that they could to get away from the waters that were creeping upward. But it didn't do them any good. At the end, the waters covered all the tops of all of the mountains, and all of the people perished. Now, when Noah could see the tops of the mountains again after the rain had subsided, he sent out a raven. And you know what happened. The raven didn't come back. Because the raven is a bird that scavenges. And what do you think he feasted on? The dead bodies. Millions of dead bodies. It was said in Alexandria after the first war in Egypt that the rats were giant because all of the soldiers that died in the war. One man was so irritated by this that he bought himself a cat, and he threw a cat in a bag with a rat, and he laughed as the bag danced up and down, and he heard the spitting and the snarling and all of what was taking place in this battle. And he opened up the bag happily to see a dead rat, but he didn't see a dead rat. He saw a dead cat. The rats were so fierce. They'd been living off of the flesh of the soldiers of Egypt who hadn't been picked up. I've seen many a rat in my time in Egypt. The two-legged and the four-legged kind. Now, the raven didn't come back, so what did Moses do? He sent out a dove. The dove came back to him immediately. He waited another week, and he sent the dove out again, and the dove came back, this time with a sprig. They call it a sprig. Maybe you call it a twig that have some olive leaves on it, so you could identify it. Now think about the symbolism that you have in here. Who is the dove but the Holy Spirit? What is the ark but the church? Who is Nova but a Christological typology? And what do they bring back? He brings back what is going to bring peace to the world? The crucifixion of our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The olive branch is a branch of peace, but it's a branch. And upon wood was our Savior crucified. So when you look at the time from Genesis, you see what is going to be foretold. You ask a Protestant Christian about this, they will just look at you blankly. And probably many, many other people, even in our own church. But these symbols and these typologies are there for a reason, to give you an understanding that in the way in which salvation is slowly scrolled out, there is meaning and purpose to every event. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is never separated from the Father. He is never separated from the Holy Spirit. How then did he go down into the Jordan River and the Spirit was over his head in the shape of a dove and the Father's voice was heard, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." Right? This is done for our sakes and our sakes only. You know, men are ravenous like the raven. Men seek the carrion, the decaying fruits of past civilizations. One can hardly wait to take power when they see some country in decline. You can't take over a country when it's ascending. But when that country is in decline, that's when they move in, and they move in fast. Just think about your history just for a moment. Not your personal history, but any kind of history that you understand. So the raven, and this is the difference between people who were once in the ark and sheltered by the ark, and then they leave the church and they say, "I know the church. I know the church. It's that big thing. I don't need it now. I don't need to go to church. Why do I need to go to church? I'm living off the carrion." Have you ever wondered why a vulture isn't disgusted by the things that the vulture is eating? Or why birds themselves will eat grubs and worms and insects and all of that stuff and look at it the same that we do as maybe a nice big porterhouse steak? You go, "Oh boy." But we too are living off of dead things. We just fire it up first. Yeah. We have to be careful that spiritually we do not follow the inclinations of our material selves, our animal selves. We have to rise higher above this. St. Ambrose of Milan says that the temptations were first of gluttony, the second of sexuality, and the third of ambition. Well, what does it mean, sexuality? Is there anything that sounds like sexual? It says he took him up on a high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. They're the devil's kingdoms. He didn't show him Rome. He didn't show him the great places that there were. He showed him his kingdom. What is the kingdom of the devil? Except licentiousness. It's the first disease. After gluttony. Gluttony is number one. You always have to remember that. How many people find it hard to fast? They're gluttons. It's just no doubt about it. You're a glutton. You can't fast. You're a glutton. "Well, I'm thin." The priest is a glutton. The priest is fat. No, the priest is lazy. But joking aside, if you can't say no to this first thing, you will fall as Adam did in paradise. Everything else was perfect, and God gave him one word, "Of this tree you shall not eat." But it looks good, and Eve goes over there. And why do we not call it the seduction of Eve by the serpent? The seduction. There's a sexual component even until now. Even until now, symbolism aside, Freudian symbolism aside, there is the seductive element which tells you a story that you wish to believe. You wish to believe this story and not this other one, because this other one has restrictions and this story has no restrictions. The Lord told you if you eat this, that you will surely die. And you're not going to die. Eat. Well, the death that the Lord spoke about was separation. Death comes later. First comes separation. Why? Because if the pain of separation isn't going to bring you back, then death is what you deserve. But since there is pain in separation from somebody you love and somebody who loves you, you will feel that pain, and maybe that will attract you back again to the way that you were and not the way that you are. Every scumbag that has ever lived has a place in the church. If they will return and drop that bag of scum at the door and pick up the cross of Christ and follow. There is nobody that is too filthy not to be accepted into the church. There is no one that has done such horrible things as not to be accepted. But they won't come. Remember, I told you some weeks ago, the Jews could not listen. They could not be saved because they would not listen. They would not be saved. It requires a humble man to reach up his hand and say, I can't make it on my own. I need assistance. No man who has an ego wants to do that ever. You don't want to come and say, unless it's a common thing, like, I can't buy this house without some financial assistance. Will you give me a loan? Or I can't buy this car without some financial assistance. Will you give me a loan? Or I can't do this thing, I can't go to this school without some financial assistance. Will you give me a loan? And so people loan. But there's a real big hook in the back, isn't there? You are going to pay with interest. And that's always interesting. The devil does the same thing. You want these things? All these things I will give to you. Now, why was he doing this? Because the devil never knew who he was talking to. From the time of Christ's nativity, he did not know who the Savior was. The wise men knew. The animals that shared the dwelling knew. Everybody knew but the devil. Because you see, the devil had seen Jesus in his glory. And when he saw him in the manger, he said, nuh-uh, that can't be. The things that I have seen that are the most magnificent, that men have never even laid their eyes on, are not worthy of even touching the one that I saw enthroned. He's now in the eating trough of an animal. And then he sees him now. He's coming to this raggedy ascetic out in the wilderness to be baptized. He is God. If he is God, how can he be God? Why would God do that? What's the meaning and the importance of this? This makes no sense. He doesn't need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is ever with him. And on and on. The devil doesn't know. So he tempts him. He's trying to get that imprimatur that says, God did this. Only God can do this. Therefore, he is God. And now my fear is justified and I must flee. But his fear is assuaged as long as there's doubt. He can be comfortable. Maybe, maybe not. There are so many people that rest their future on, well, maybe not. They don't think about what would happen if all of the things that they are worried about come to fruition. And I tell you this because people don't understand the magnificence of the Lord. We see him anthropomorphically. He's a man. As a matter of fact, because he is a man and because he walked the earth as a man, because he took flesh and dwelt among us, we are given an out. We were told it's okay if you're saddened because of my appearance, or if you're put off because of my appearance, if you cannot believe because of my appearance, if you have doubt because of my appearance. But at the end, when his passion grew, and when the time came in the fullness of time, he said, if you don't need to believe me, what I have said, but believe me for the things that I've done, the things that you've seen. Who does these things? Has it ever been heard of that a man born blind had his eyes opened? Who can do this? So, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is for us the greatest power on earth. It will give you eyes that look past the temporality of your present situation, and you can see beyond. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, I tell you this, you are consumed by whatever bothers you. You may be depressed. You may be ebullient. You may be anything, but this is a temporary situation. Your entire life is as a vapor. It's not going to last. I can speak about this. Where have the last 71 years of my life gone? Where have they gone? Boy, it seems fast. And you know why kids, you know, like my grandson Joshua there, he was saying, you know, I'm 8 and a half. Because a half a year for him is 1/16 of his entire life. You know? I mean, it's like 4 and a half years for me. For him to wait a half a year or me to wait 4 and a half. That's why an old man will always say, time is flying, time is flying. Because each interval of time becomes increasingly a smaller proportion of the life you've lived. So if you reach the age of an octogenarian, 1 year is a very small portion of your life. But for a child, oh my gosh. I remember thinking when I finished high school, 4 more years? 4 more years of this? Well, I did it for 7, but it doesn't make any difference. It was... Now when I look back at it, I thought, I think rather, that just whizzed by. But we think, without the Holy Spirit, in terms of this temporality. I look at women who think that they're beautiful. And of course I'm looking at them because I think they're beautiful too. But look at their mothers. Look at their mothers. Take a really hard look at their mothers. That's what they're going to wind up looking like. Now, did you think the mother was really good looking? If so, you got a good deal. But if not, horror awaits. Yeah, because men are driven by the visual component way more than women. I mean, it's not an exaggeration to say at least 10 times. So when something begins to decay on the object of your desire, you look at it like, oh my God, what happened? Whereas a woman will look at a man and see if he is still as kind and considerate, if he's as loving and as tender as he used to be. But a lot of that is derived from other things. These things are all temporal. You can look past them if you have the Holy Spirit. If you do not have the Holy Spirit, you will feel like you are the most beat up, set upon human being in the world. My situation is lousy. The Holy Spirit can change all of that. This is the time of the Holy Spirit. When you pray, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit for a more full expression in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to make Himself manifest to you in some way so that you can see the reflection of your own spirit. Do that and you will prosper. I personally guarantee you. Glory be to our God, both now and ever, and to the age of all ages. Amen. Thank you.